Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, when big things are happening in the ag markets, we got to get our expert, Angie Setzer, the vice president of grains at Citizen Elevator, as well as the goddess herself. Angie, I know you're living the dream. What's going on, kid?
Oh, you already said it. What else do I say? I'm just living the dream right now. I'm like Lucy on Charlie Brown. I've got my little booth built around me, and it says psychiatrist 5 cents or whatever she used to do. And so that's me right now. I've got my let me hold you sort of hat on for my former customers calling in today.
Well, you know, on Wednesday we had obviously the ridiculous USDA report, and of course the numbers don't ever add up, and I don't get it, but everybody waits for it. And I said, yeah. I think I said to you, but I know I say it all the time anyway, so that all this stuff is always priced in ahead of time, and the numbers are unimportant. And then basically what will happen is the people that got in too heavy on one side with speculating and gambling. And of course, then when they sell them off or when they rally them, depending on which way they went, and this time they're selling them off, that they're going to sell them off a little farther than you think because people are puking out. What do you say?
Oh, yeah, I agree. It's like yelling fire at a crowded movie theater right now. And you know, it's fun to use that analogy when you're talking about the upside move and how quickly you can go. I mean, we saw soybeans move over $1.30 to the highs. November put on new highs, or at least highs that were the highest level we've seen. I had target orders fill from last November. So it's been a long, long dang time since we've seen soybeans trade as high as what they got. And they're still at great levels for marketing opportunities for guys that didn't catch it. You know, no, it's not at the high end. Yes, it's 43 cents or more off the high, but it's still there. Soybeans are anyway. And that's even with such a huge hit. I mean, I just had a customer call and he called me and I told him a price on his old crop soybeans and he hung up and walked away, called me back 10 minutes later and said, what can I do now? Well, it happened to come right after the market that updated forecast, and right now, you know, of course, we're trading on lows, so it's 10 cents. He lost 10 cents in 5 minutes, and so these guys don't quite understand why the market's moving as quickly as what it is, but it's just like what you said. You know, everyone they run to one side of the room, and just as quick as everyone gets over on that side, they run back to the other, so it's made for some really volatile trade here this last couple days.
No, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, listen, we had a straight up move. And of course, you know me, I've been really bullish on wheat since it was $3.80 and then got to almost $6.
Exactly.
And I think that it's still bullish. I mean, look, I'm not surprised at the selling at all. I mean, you know, even a train stops at the station for a cup of water. And of course, look, we've got, you just mentioned it. Soybeans went up $1. Actually, I think it was $1.40. It doesn't matter. They went up from 9 to 10.40 or whatever it was. And here they are. So they're entitled to a little bit of a break. Somebody's going to take some profit, or somebody's going to start selling them because they want to, you know, protect. And the same corn was the weakest. It was only up 60 cents. But in the meantime, wheat was like, I think, up $1.40 or about $1.50 over the time. So you're going to see some selling. Markets do not go straight up. So we have to see that. And of course, everybody wants to always try to pick the top or the bottom. And I go, look, when you get to certain places, you just take some money off the table. Don't you agree with that?
Oh, I agree with it wholeheartedly. And I mean, that's what we saw. Soybeans and wheat are perfect examples of that. I mean, to buy soybeans on July 13th at the peak of a $1.40 rally is like telling someone to hit you sitting at a blackjack table when you have 20. You know, it just at this point in time with a large carryover and us still being 2 weeks away from August, even having an idea as to what the mid-August weather will look like, that's so important. You had to have anticipated at some point we were going to back off. At least in my opinion, it was a reasonable time to get some stuff sold. And I'm not saying that because I want to tell guys I told them so. I'm saying it.
Yeah, yes, you do.
From a common sense standpoint. you know, well, and That's the same as 550 wheat. I mean, I bought more wheat from June 30th until this past Monday than I had bought all year prior, and it made sense. I sat here, I told guys, you know, I had customers that we had had basis contracts or storage contracts on for a full year just because we were waiting for this market opportunity to present itself. Did storage eat up a lot of their gains? Sure, but they still came out further ahead than what they would have last harvest by selling. You know, it wasn't as pretty as I thought it would be, and it didn't happen as quick, but you know, marketing opportunities have been there, and now it's time for everyone to take a deep breath, take a look at what opportunities they think they missed when they didn't sell, and put those target orders back in, because I think that it's not done. I think there's still a lot of issues out there, like you said. I mean, the spring wheat crop, the numbers from the USDA yesterday on spring wheat in Durham don't add up at all. You know, you've still got some Canadian production issues that are showing up. You know, we even have some cash wheat production issues or physical wheat production issues that are likely to show up here in Michigan that I'm dealing with now. The same can be said for corn. You know, a lot of this Iowa corn is probably going to be pollinating next week. And our forecast at this point in time, or at least it has been, mid-90s, highs in the upper 70s to low 80s, and no rain in the forecast. The dry areas are still dry. You know, we didn't solve any of these perceived production issues overnight. And you know, if everyone's surprised that yesterday's USDA report wasn't bullish, I don't know how to talk to them, because it just doesn't make sense that they would have anticipated a bullish surprise in a July USDA report.
It's just, look, it's the same thing that always drives markets. You have too much jubilation and too many people don't want to miss the big rally, and they piled in. Listen, it's almost the identical pattern that happened last July 4th, a year ago. All right. Everybody piled in. They couldn't wait to get in. And of course, then it was over and good night, Charlie. And I don't think this is good night, but I think that this is going to be, I believe that this will be a big squeeze on everybody who speculated. And I think they're still puking out because, again, you jump in and you overpay. And that's one of the reasons you have to be very careful. And in your stuff, when you're doing a marketing plan, you figure out what your costs are. You try to lock some profit, and then you let the rest of it play out. Is that not right?
That's very right. That's what I talk to my customers about all the time. As we figure out what we're looking at from an actual production standpoint or an anticipated production standpoint, we take a look at what their costs are, and we get a percentage locked in at levels that make sense. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I had a lot of guys that we got really aggressive between 4 and 4:15 December futures, and we'll probably turn those easily into $4 to $4.25 or better cash contracts next year at this time. You know, before this time, really. By next winter, they'll probably be delivering bushels that they know they're going to be profitable at. The same can be said for beans, other than bean basis is going to be pretty wide, because our exports appear at this point in time to not be as aggressive as what they've been the last couple years. So it's you know, we've had opportunities, and when you sit down, you know, when the market's low and you're bored and you take the emotion out of it and build a marketing plan, you know, 9 times out of 10, it works out very well for you. The struggle that I've had these last couple years is that everyone continues to remember 2006, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12, you know, when we had those years where it paid to not do anything. You got to harvest time and the market was near its highest level. So we're not in that structure anymore. We're not trying to build our supply to meet our demand. Right. You know, we're now trying
I want to pick this up when we come back from the break. That's it. I want to get, right. don't forget, because I might. But anyways, this is the Bubba Show, and this is being brought to you by BarkBox. They're established in 2011. Anyways, today's show, you can get BarkBox. Go to BarkBox.com. You get one free extra month at BarkBox. www.getbarkbox.com/The Bubba Show. In the meantime, don't forget LibertyTalk.fm, where you can download the show every single day. And of course, there is the Sporting Edge on the weekends. Always good. And they're actually doing a live promo tonight. So always interesting to see what's going on in the world. And of course, don't forget BubbaTrading.com, where you can see my Bubba's bottom line. You know, it's going to be an Emmy Award winner one of these days. If they ever let me talk freely on network TV, I'll go for it, because I got a lot of bitches about that too. But in the meantime, this is Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, vice president of grains at Citizen Elevator. We'll be right back after the break with more of the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the goddess of grains herself, Angie Setzer, the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. All right, so young lady, we were talking about the how you hedge in marketing, and you were talking about way at the top. And I go, it shouldn't matter where we are. The bottom line is not what you hedge at. The bottom line is locking in profit so that even if the things go poorly, you're in good shape. And I don't say lock up everything. I mean, you and I do things a little bit differently. I will hedge ways that allow me to collect on the upside forever if they keep going up, but I will lock in the downside. But of course, yours are exact. You know, if you lock in, I locked in soybeans before the number yesterday at 10:20. All right. If they went to 11, we'd have made every dollar at 11, up to 11. All right. But the point is that it doesn't matter where, it's the bottom line in compared to your business, because you're not gambling in a casino. You're raising grains, or you're running a farm, which really is a business, I believe. Is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're not raising kids. You're raising adults. You're not raising crops. You're making money, or trying to make money at least. So we have that problem. I refer to it a lot of times with my customers, or when I go on speaking gigs and things like that, I call it the farmer's bushel baby. You know what I mean? Like, the mom has a hard time kicking the kid out of the nest because it's her baby. She spent so much time, creating this baby. Well, a farmer spends all of this time creating this crop, and to just kick it out, a lot of times they have way more emotion. I swear most of my customers I work with have far more emotion when it comes to marketing their grain than it does, where their kids end up. Of course they care, but I mean, that's for the wife to worry about, kind of deal. That's our biggest focus. And I had a conversation with a guy, I work with him. He's younger. He's a second generation farmer, but he's a first generation full-time farmer. So his dad always worked full-time and had a few acres. And this kid's been wanting to be his own farmer for as long as he can remember. And we sat here the other day when soybeans started to swoon there on Monday, I think it was. They were off a dime. Maybe it was Tuesday. They were off a dime. And I said, Justin, that's his name, I said, $1.21 is still better than 11 cents, because he was worried about that 11 cents we were lower. And he goes, well, that's the best way to look at it. Is he knew locking in anything over $10 or anything over 10 and a quarter, of course, would be profitable for him, and much more profitable than 9, 9.20,
9.50. Really? Is 10:20 higher than, is more profitable than 9.50? I can't believe it.
You'd be amazed. I guess it depends on the yield. There are ways farmers will tell you that 10:20 is not more profitable than 9.50, but that's just the beauty part about working with guys. If I only yield blah, 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 and so that's a common problem a lot of the farmers that I work with will have, is they'll start to get nervous that they're not going to generate a crop. But the thing is right now, in a lot of areas out there, most folks can look out and see that they are going to generate a crop. Barring anything extraordinarily unexpected, like a frost in September or something of that nature, we're going to have a reasonably solid crop. The big question right now is in beans. A 4 bushel to the acre spread is pretty dramatic in what it does for carry out. And in corn, a 10 bushel to the acre spread is pretty dramatic in what it does for carry out. And then of course we have the wild card with the wet spring and things of that nature as to what the USDA or the FSA, a division of the USDA, is going to say when it comes to actual certified acres. So just kind of explain that a little bit further. The biggest problem I have with yesterday's USDA report and things like that is that there is an arm of the USDA that basically has all of the acres certified by the end of June. Farmers have to get crop insurance, they have to have all of their acreage certified through the FSA. So there is a division of the USDA that knows exactly what was planted, how much wasn't planted, where it was planted, and they could kind of devise what an average production history is for each county that they have the numbers for. So don't tell me that someone doesn't already have that type of information, but, we're still trading off from USDA survey-based estimates and all that other crap. But that's a tangent for another day, perhaps.
Well, no, I mean, it's a good tangent because, again, I'm anti-government anyways, all right? But I mean, I'm not anti-government. Like, I hate the government. I don't like the things that they do because I don't think that they're fair for the average American, which would then put us in the farmers, because farmers will usually a step above the average Americans because they all that land, if they own it, they're in pretty good shape. But the bottom line is very simple. All right. The numbers are ridiculous, and half the time they're not right. And you're not getting the true story. And the real source is the true story is really, what are you raising? What do you have? And what are you going to yield? Because yield and carry out. Yeah. And I want you to explain yield and carry out, because obviously everybody here is not from the farming community. So I'd like them to understand what we're talking about. Can you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the yield side of things, of course, is what's generated into the production figure that the USDA uses. When the USDA uses yield numbers, they use what they have calculated our yield has been over the last several years, and then they built what they call trend line, which is just a fancy number, you know, that they've put together based on production history and what the weather has produced and things like that. Now, we've seen a significant increase in trend line yield over the last few years because of technology. Seed technology has improved greatly. So that's been beneficial and helped really improve these yields, you know, relatively substantially. Carry out's what's left over. For me, from a trader standpoint, or when I'm looking at market analysis and things like that, you take what was left over from the year prior. That's your carry in, ending stocks, whatever you want to call it. That's what you have that you start the year with. And then, of course, you take your acreage by your yield and your demand. And that gives you what you think will be left over for the next year to carry in, you know, carry into the next year sort of thing. And, you know, right now with corn, we have more than enough. The number from the USDA yesterday came in above 200 million bushel above last month's estimate, which shouldn't have been a surprise. We got quarterly stocks that were higher than expected the end of June, which means that we have more on hand. You know, we're using less or we produced more. I take the quarterly stocks number with a grain of salt because it's a guess, you know, and I mean, it's an educated guess, but it's still a guess. But so that came in higher than anticipated, which meant old crop ending stocks would be higher than what the USDA had been forecasting. And then we had that increase in acres. So everyone yesterday, I think, even if they didn't want to admit it, were expecting the USDA to come in and reduce yield, you know, and subsequently ignore the June 30th number and reduced carry out as well. Stupid thought process, in my opinion, going into it. I mean, yeah, it'd have been great, but the USDA's chance, you know, the chance of the USDA doing that in a July report, you know, is really not a likely thing. So everyone's reacting negatively to that surprise, I guess, at this point in time. And we've just turned into the spillover selling and an overall crap show, I guess you could say.
Well, yeah, because again, look, we see this all. This is not new, and this goes for everybody who believes that the numbers aren't the numbers. Numbers are the numbers, and yes, if we get, you know, $10 beans, and you know you're yielding, you know, 100 bushels an acre, or you get $10 beans, you yield 60. Well, yeah, sure, of course, or it's different. But again, you have to make sure that the first thing that anybody should do is make sure that they lock in the cost. Now, one thing we know about farmers, you and I both, is that they love the gamble. Right? I mean, to be a farmer, you have to be a gambler to begin with, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've got to be an eternal optimist to be a farmer. I mean, that's flat out and simple. You're not going to go out and put millions of dollars in the dirt hoping you get a million, you know, 0.001,000 back or whatever. Some of these guys, I mean, some of these guys operate on very, 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 very limited profit margins. And they do it because they love it. You know, of course, you'll talk to farmers, they'll tell you they do it because they're working to make money. You know, there's two very different mindsets. There's guys that farm and will farm forever because they love to farm that much. There's other guys that are very smart and very particular about how they approach a market, and they make sure they run it like a business. And they're right now, they're sitting okay. Now, they weren't sitting okay when the market was rallying or continuing to rally because they felt they'd sold too soon. You know, I can't tell you how many comments I get when the market's up 15 cents and someone had sold the day prior about how, you know, God, I should have waited. Well, I don't hear them now.
Right. Well, you got to wait now because we're coming up to a break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, we're being brought to you today by somebody Angie uses as well, BarkBox, and that's getbarkbox.com/TheBubbaShow. You know, for the listeners, you get, they're offering you receive one free extra month at BarkBox at BarkBox.com. So go to getbarkbox.com/The Bubba Show and get your free stuff for your pooch, because I just got a new pooch and I told you guys about it before I gave it to my wife. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. We'll be back with more from Angie Setzer, the Vice President of Grains at Citizens Elevator and a top-notch trader, and also the goddess herself, The Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz. We will be right back after the break with more on how to handle these wild markets. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the goddess, Angie Setzer, the Vice President of Grains at Citizen Elevator. All right, Angie, so we were getting into it there. And, of course, the gambling part. Now, I don't care if a farmer loves farming or a farmer's doing it for a business. The farmer's there to make money. He ain't doing it as a charity. Either way, he's got to make some money because you got to eat, you got to live, right? Would that be his first statement?
I mean, that's just it.
They do like to fire up a little bit, and of course they do get themselves trapped in these reports, and they are far too interested in when the reports come out. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think they get far too they take off their farmer hat or their business hat, and they put on their trader hat, their speculator hat, is what I call it. I mean, they get to where they're worse than anyone out there, because they, for one, the worst thing they do is they find or they seek out information that supports their market opinion. And I mean, this isn't everyone, but this is a pretty common theme that I see when the markets start to rally, is they simply source, you know, whomever is going to help support, you know, they look for their enabler. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, anything negative is non-existent. It's fake news, you know, so to
fake
speak.
News.
And everything positive is encouraging to them.
Fake news out of Andy Setzer. There you go. Anyway, let me ask you. So they do their thing, right? But at the end of the day, this happens in all walks of trading. It doesn't matter whether you're trading the stock market, the grain market, the cattle. It doesn't matter what market it is. Everybody likes to put their 2 cents into an opinion versus understanding how the markets really work and where they're going to go. I mean, opinions are very rarely right. Okay. Now, I have an opinion. You have an opinion. We were both bullish well before these prices came up. We didn't say it was going to happen tomorrow. And we didn't say go ahead and position yourself. We said look for ways to protect yourself, because, again, even when we get the big rally, you get a sell-off. And that's where opinions are like, you can fill in the blank. We all got one, right? So at the end of the day, you cannot use your opinion to trade, because you're using a common opinion, because you guys are all looking at the same dry dirt or the same lack of, but you're not really. You know, I remember last year, Iowa had corn. I forget, what was it, 174 per acre? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, nationally, that was our yield. Here in Kossuth County, the county that I live in, we were over 195 bushel per acre.
And in North Dakota, I think they were 80. Okay, so again, you know, you got to look at what you got, and that's where your money comes from, and that should be your key determination first. And that's where I think a lot of people have judgment here, trying to use their opinion and use the things that go around them, and not worried and focusing on what they got. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think so 100%. They forget to trade their crop, you know, and that's what I think. That's the biggest thing that anyone can do, is you trade your position, you trade your crop, you do what you know. You only can do what you know. But that's definitely what we run into. Or what I run into a lot is I'll get customers that will call me and they will argue with me about what the crop looks like in my backyard. I live in North Central Iowa, of course, just a refresher for any new listeners. I live in North Central Iowa, and I work with most of my customers are in Michigan, throughout the lower peninsula of Michigan. So they'll call, and I've actually had guys call me and say, well, they're burning up in Iowa. And I'll say, no, they aren't. Yes, they are. Yeah, I read it online. They're burning up in Iowa. There's a big problem. And I said, well, you know, I can look out my window at six different fields, and we're not burning up. Are we dry? Yeah. You know, we've only got a tenth of an inch of rain in the past 2 weeks, and we've been 90 degrees. But the corn is holding up well. We've got a little bit of curl to the leaves, but we're not North or South Dakota yet. And I don't know if we will be, because we've got reasonably solid subsoil moisture because we had a wet spring, you know. And so I'll get folks that'll call, and they'll focus 100% on what they had heard, you know, not what they've seen. Meanwhile, you know, their neighbor will call and tell me that they have the best looking corn crop they've ever had and up their sales because it's above $4. You know, and that's a true story. I work with a group of guys that are all neighbors to each other. And one guy will call and tell me how great his crop will look. And the next guy will call and tell me that he has nothing, you know, and that he heard Iowa has nothing and stuff like that. So yeah, to get lost in the noise, the market noise, and start to think you know better about what's happening, you know, 1,000 miles away from your back door, is just as dangerous as being hell bent and focused on what is happening out back. You know, if you've got your crops burning up, or if your crop is having some struggles, or your neighbor's crop, of course, is having some struggles, then, you know, it's easy to think that the market needs to trade higher. The reality is you have to trade what works for you and only you. You know, you can take all of these outside opinions in and turn them into something, but eventually you run into the situation, which is worse than anything, and that's analysis paralysis, where you've heard so many different things, conflicting or otherwise, that you just flat stop. Yeah. And so you saw a lot of that happen Monday, Tuesday of this week, where people just stopped. They stopped paying attention. They assumed if they waited a day, it'd be back up 15. You know, I had some guys that they knew they needed to make a decision by this afternoon, by the market close, because they have money. You know, they need to turn their bushels into money because they have bills due tomorrow. And they rolled the dice for one more day, and now they're down 30-some cents. 100,000 bushels. I mean, that's just, it's craziness to me sometimes what you can see happen in these market structures like this.
If you're going to start reading all that crap on the internet and you're going to start listening to all these opinions, you really do. You do the opposite. You fade them because they're very rarely right. Even if they're going to be right longer term.
Unless it's you and I, Bubba, and then you listen to us.
Well, no, I mean, I'll give you a solid opinion, but that's a good point, though. But you and I are both not looking, I mean, you and I will both gamble a little bit on a trade, but we were gambling when corn was in the mid threes. We were gambling in wheat when it was in the low fours. And we talked about soybeans and we said around the $9 level, but it was a little bit concerning. Then once it hit nine, it went to 9.50 and 10 before you could open your eyes. So it was really hard to get in unless you wanted to try to pick the bottom. And I don't think you or I tried to pick the bottom of these markets. It's like I made a big call on corn, as you've heard. I'm sure it's been all over Twitter, but you know, and in wheat. Yeah. But I mean, listen, I called for 5.50 wheat when it was 3.80. So everybody's, you know, how can you do? They were laughing at me on air, but I'm not saying that it's going there today. I just said, look, I want to be a buyer, and I'm a bottom buyer in these areas, but I'm not going to buy them as they're going to keep going down. I need them to at least show me the ability to stop where they're at so I know that all the puking is gone. What do you think about that?
No, I agree 100%. We're not here. I'm not here to tell farmers what they want to hear. And I've been accused of that a few different times where it's like, oh, well, you know, if you're bullish, you're just trying to sell whatever. And it's like, I don't sell anything. You know, I'm just here, and I'm just here to try to help guys manage through, you know, the current market structure, which is we're going to be range bound, for a long time. We may be volatilely range bound. You know what I mean? Where you're just like what we've seen, where we're back down to the lows that we traded at ahead of this last rally that we had after the rally that we had initially that fell apart, you know, in June. I think we're going to trade like a yo-yo here for quite some time. And so the fact is you sell at the high move of the yo-yo and you sit tight, or you buy at the downside, depending on what kind of investment person you're looking at. You know, to me right now, I think you're seeing corn get down to to buy levels. I think wheat probably has to test $5 before I feel comfortable jumping back in. But if you know, that's just my opinion on that side. And I think soybeans have a little bit further to go before I'm comfortable jumping in on those as well. But corn to me is telling me that, you know, downside risk in corn is probably going, you know, it could still be there, but it's going to be a little bit more fleeting. So if I have a customer call me today and ask what he should do, I'm still recommending he market wheat because he's going to be harvesting it here in another 10 days or so in my neck of the woods. And I don't think 550, you know, it's 570 futures on the July 18th, they can make money on that. So, you know, I'm still recommending they sell wheat and they lock in prices on soybeans, and we are sitting tight or gambling, you could say, on corn at this point in time. But, you know, they were aggressive enough when corn was at higher levels, or they should have been. And so we're sitting here for now and just making those moves based on you know, some catch-up stuff. But I said it when the market was rallying. You know, there was some conversation about putting target orders in, and people were really frustrated because they just sold corn on a target order and watched it go up 15 cents. And I flat out said it's much easier, you know, as much of a pain as it is to put a target order in and watch the market trade higher from there, it's much harder to try to capture a market or make decisions in a downturn, you know. And so right now, based on that alone, you know, we're sitting in a pretty good spot for a lot of guys. And that's all we can do.
That's exactly what you said last time you're on, and your deal is to help protect. And listen, I'm all for it. Look, I believe I say this on RFD TV all the time. I say, listen, you should just hedge some of it. You know, one of the things that I don't think people realize is that they can actually use, they want to be a little bit more active. They want to gamble, but on some trades, they can actually use their underlying security, which in this case happens to be their crops, as a protection and not put themselves in jeopardy like they do now. Now they just go out and fire up and buy a bunch of futures and they don't care. But again, that's just that's the way we have to learn to understand. And I think that's where many farmers that, you know, try to get involved, and then of course they're trying to trade from the tractor or whatever, and they're looking at their iPhone at these numbers, and you know, they're just not getting good information because there's too much stuff out there that is not correct to the average guy, and it really is very meaningless overall. Anyways, this is Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, and also the vice president of Mrs. Vice President from Citizens Elevator, vice president of grains actually at Citizens Elevator. And of course, this show has been brought to you by BarkBox, barkbox.com. For you listeners of the Bubba Show, go to barkbox.com and then get barkbox.com/ The Bubba Show, and you can get a free month of your service. I know Angie uses it and I use it. So go check it out. Get barkbox.com/ The Bubba Show. And of course, don't forget libertytalk.fm. You can download the show every single day. And we're trying to get to that 400,000 mark. And don't forget, don't leave my boy out, Xander. Got to check him out as well. They're doing a big job. And this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with more from the goddess herself, Angie Setzer. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Angie Setzer. And of course, Angie's been brought to you by BarkBox.com. Get BarkBox.com/ The Bubba Show. And Angie is the goddess of grains at Twitter, at the goddess of grains. Or is it at goddess of grains, right?
Yeah, goddess of grains.
Goddess of grains. Yeah. Sorry, I like to slur a little bit. And of course, she's the vice president of grains at Citizen Elevator. Check her out. All right, so you know, I got a couple of questions from myself. All right, so you know, I'm a trader. I'm not a farmer. Right, I understand it. I mean, actually, believe it or not, there is some farm blood in my family. We used to go to Appleton, Wisconsin, all the time because I had my mom's family was from there, and they were actually farmers. But you know, we've seen obviously a great move forward in farming. So now we've got, you know, where a guy could used to yield 80 acres, he can now 80 bushels an acre, he can now do 200, right? Because obviously technology, yeah. The seed, you mentioned the weather in Iowa, but the corn's holding up pretty well. But I don't really understand the GMO part of it, okay? Now, what I mean by that is, you know, I go to a store, I'm very big in produce as well. You know, I have one of my buddies owns one of the biggest produce stores in the country. And, you know, I talk and I look through and I help them out and do something. I look at it. Now see this watermelon. How can that be not genetically modified? I don't understand. That's why I don't understand. So what is the big concern about genetically modified stuff? And explain to me and the listeners, because I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, there really, when it comes down to it, it's been developed. And seedless watermelon has basically been, it's breeding. It's It's not modification. So genetic modification is when you basically take DNA that wouldn't necessarily naturally be present in that crop at that point in time and inject it and develop a new, same crop, just a new defense mechanism, you could say. So like for BT corn, it kills rootworm is what it is there was a DNA chain basically put into the corn initially that when a root borer or a rootworm or whatever it may be, corn borer, bites into that corn, it kills them. It's just a naturally occurring enzyme that takes place, I believe. I get it messed up. It come from another crop. So like for citrus greening, you know, you'll hear about this issue in Florida with citrus greening down there. It's killing the trees. It's a disease down in Florida that's wiping out a lot of the orange trees. You can take a piece of DNA from a leaf of spinach, inject it into this orange tree, and basically the citrus greening, it's suddenly able to protect itself from citrus greening. You can save the crop. But at this point in time, the concern over GMO or not GMO is large enough to where they aren't necessarily making that move. A lot of people assume that there's a huge amount of genetic modification taking place, or that it's really weird. It's, you know, salmon injected into corn or something like that. That's not the case at all. There's really only 10 or 11 approved genetically modified crops anyway from the USDA. Cotton, corn, soybeans are the three main ones. And then you have like papaya and a couple other ones. There's a tomato, but no one ever used that. That hasn't been used at all. New potatoes come out here recently and a new apple that doesn't brown when it's exposed to oxygen.
Where do you stand on that?
Where do I stand on it?
Mm-hmm.
I am 100% wide arms open. It's science to me. None of it, in my opinion, is unsafe. I think farmers, of course, they're not going to go out. There's a common idea and I've seen it in social media and things like that, where farmers are going out and my favorite is they say they're spraying glyphosate on wheat. There's no Roundup Ready wheat. So Roundup is glyphosate. They're not spraying glyphosate on wheat. They can't. It'll kill the crop. You know, and so I see that often where it's caused glyphosate this and it's glyphosate that on the wheat, and that's where gluten intolerance has come from. It's like, no, that's not true at all, because it's not possible. The FDA has not allowed for Roundup Ready wheat to be put into commercial production. So to me, I think it's safer. I've worked with both. Well, you know, all different kinds of producers, and you know, a lot of folks will think organic means there's absolutely zero chemicals sprayed. The reality is there's actually can be more sprayed on an organic product. There's a whole list of chemicals that are approved by the FDA for use in organic production. You know, and so when it comes down to it, everyone is their own person. They can make their own decisions on what they want, but I would hope that they would make an educated decision on it versus what they read on Facebook.
I'm sorry. All right, let me ask you this question now. So is it, do they hate Monsanto or they really hate GMO?
I think it's Monsanto. And we've talked about that, the Girls Talk Ag group, we've got our own little podcast here that definitely is nowhere near as awesome as yours. But we've talked about it a little bit.
How come I've never been invited?
We come out weekly on that one, but Monsanto did come out and kind of, create their own shit show, so to speak, in that respect, because they came out and kind of acted like everyone would love it. You know, well, we're going to burn your city down. We'll be greeted as saviors or whatever. And that's not the case. And Monsanto did some really rough stuff with farmers and you know, they've really improved their customer service and how they work with farmers and their customers as time has gone on. But they did a lot of really nasty crap in the start, and that really kind of went to the idea that they're bad people. I think a lot of it is overblown, and like I said, a lot of it is misconceptions based on, you know, someone speaking that maybe has no real idea as to how production agriculture works. But everyone has to make their own decision on what they feel comfortable on. Me personally, having seen all levels of production and knowing what I'm getting into when I buy my food, I do not hesitate to buy a, you know, high fructose corn syrup can have genetically modified corn in it. It doesn't concern me, take that. I'll eat Roundup Ready sweet corn. You know, there's sweet corn that you can spray Roundup on now, and so that's a GMO. I don't even bat an eye at it. You know, I would rather have that than or have sweet corn that they can put something on to avoid getting those nasty corn plugs when you pull the chuck back, check the ear or whatever. But so I'm not afraid of it, but everyone has to make their own decision.
I would be concerned. I'm not concerned about GMO because that's where we've gone health wise. Look at the pills, look at the antibiotics, everything else you take. I mean, you're just trying to make things safer. People are living a lot longer, so it must be something to it. But I had heard that Monsanto had stuck it to the farmers pretty good. And again, I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying what I heard. And that's why they all hate them. And again, that's not why they necessarily hate GMOs, but that's why they hate Monsanto, because they were pretty brutal, and especially like in rough times and stuck them with a lot of bills. I don't want to get into that. It's not our business, but that's what I had heard. That's why I asked you. So now, you know, the GMO, like, for example, people who shop at Whole Foods, I mean, organic. Yes. Okay. What do you think, that organic is not somehow modified? I don't see, but that's what I don't understand is that you don't know what the hell you're getting anyways, unless you're the farmer and you're doing it yourself, right? Yep. You don't know what you're buying in the store, do you?
No. It's the same with meat or anything like that. Like, I always kind of chuckle a little bit. It's the only way you actually know what you're producing is if you grow it yourself. But I had heard a fantastic quote at one point in time, and I definitely think it's something that's real, is when you have no food, you have one problem. When you have plenty of food, you have thousands of problems. So it's really one of those things where it's like, well, we have so much food that we can choose to, you know, choose what kind of food we eat because we want to make sure we're healthier or whatever it may be. And like I said, I mean, everyone has to make their own decision overall. And some people will come back and they'll give this study or that study or this reason why they don't do it and blah, blah, blah. And that's fine with me. But I am a supporter of science, you know. And so that's the fun part to me, is a lot of times these same people that are against GMOs or increasing our ability to produce food are the same ones that'll beat you over the head if you say you don't necessarily believe humans control climate change. You know, well, the science is there. Well, right. So is the science behind using genetically modified organisms when it comes to increasing your ability to produce a good, clean food source. You know, to me, you can't ignore science in one thing and say it's there in another. And the same can be said on it. You know,
I got to cut you off. Angie Setzer, Goddess of Grains, Vice President of Grains at Sysco. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being on today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I always love coming.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, that'll do it for today. Make sure that you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day and the Sporting Edge on the weekends, and also go check out BarkBox, BarkBox.com, and get a free month at getbarkbox.com/the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time, right here on the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.